Good afternoon. My name is Miguel Bustos, and it's now 1:02. This is a regular meeting of the Commission on Community Investment and Infrastructure, the successor agency for the San Francisco Redevelopment Agency, for Tuesday, October 15th, 2019. Welcome to members of the public. Madam Secretary, please call the first item.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The first order of business is item one, roll call. Commission members, please respond when I call your name. Commissioner Brackett?
Present.
Commissioner Scott?
Here.
Vice Chair Rosales?
Here.
Chair Bustos?
Here.
All members of the commission are present. The next order of business is item two, announcements. A, the next regularly scheduled meeting will be held on November 5th, 2019 at 1 p.m. in City Hall, Room 416. B, announcement of prohibition of sound-producing electronic devices during the meeting. Please be advised that the ringing of and use of cell phones, pagers, and similar sound-producing electronic devices are prohibited at this meeting. Please be advised that the chair may order the removal from the meeting room of any persons responsible for the ringing of or use of a cell phone, pager, or other similar sound-producing electronic device. C, announcement of time allotment for public comments. Please be advised a member of the public has up to 3 minutes to make pertinent public comments on each agenda item, unless the commission adopts a shorter period on any item. It is strongly recommended that members of the public who wish to address the commission fill out a speaker card and submit the completed card to the commission secretary. The next order of business is item three, report on actions taken at a previous closed session meeting, if any. There are no reportable actions. The next order of business is item four, matters of unfinished business. There are no matters of unfinished business. The next order of business is item four, matters of unfinished business. The next order of business is item five, matters of new business consisting of consent and regular agenda. First, a consent agenda. Item 5A, approval of minutes from the regular meeting of September 17th, 2019. Mr. Chair.
Madam Secretary, do we have any speaker cards for this item?
No speaker cards.
Okay. Anybody wishing to speak on this item? Seeing none, I'm going to close public comment and turn to my fellow commissioners for any questions or comments, or if anybody would like to move this item.
No questions. I make a motion to adopt the minutes of September 17, 2019.
Thank you, Commissioner Rosales.
I second it.
Commissioner Scott, we have a first and second. Madam Secretary, please take roll.
Commission members, please announce your vote when I call your name. Commissioner Brackett?
Yes.
Commissioner Scott?
Here.
Vice Chair Rosales?
Yes.
Chair Bustos?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, the vote is 4 ayes.
Thank you. Please call the next item.
Yes.
The next is a regular agenda. Agenda items 5B through 5D related to the major phase amendment for Candlestick Point will be presented and acted on together. 5B, adopting findings, including amending adopted mitigation measures pursuant to the California Environmental Quality Act related to approval of the 2019 modified project variant for the Candlestick Point Phase 2 of the Hunters Point Shipyard Development Project, including findings concerning the implementation of a threshold of significance for evaluating transportation impacts based on vehicle miles traveled, Hunters Point Shipyard Redevelopment Project Area, and Bayview Hunters Point Redevelopment Project Area. Discussion and action, resolution number 25-2019. 5C, adopting findings pursuant to the California Environmental Quality Act and approving an amendment to the Candlestick Point Design for Development, Bayview Hunters Point Redevelopment Project Area, discussion and action, resolution number 26-2019. 5D, adopting findings pursuant to the California Environmental Quality Act and approving a major phase amendment for Candlestick Point Major Phase 1, including associated revisions to the Candlestick Point Infrastructure Plan and Candlestick Point Hunters Point Shipyard Phase 2 Transportation Plan, conversion of non-residential uses within the Bayview Hunters Point Redevelopment Plan Area, and transfer of research and development office use from the Hunters Point Shipyard Redevelopment Plan Area to the Bayview Hunters Point Redevelopment Plan Area, and approving a modification to the phasing plan and schedule of performance for Candlestick Point, Hunters Point Shipyard Redevelopment Project Area, and Bayview Hunters Point Redevelopment Project Area. Discussion and action, resolution number 27-2019. Madam Director.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Through the chair, the item before you is an action item. If you recall, two weeks ago at our last meeting, 5.10 presented the work plan that's in front of you today. So today we're asking for an approval of what was presented, and staff is going to incorporate some of the recommendations we heard from the commission. Just a few highlights: we're converting regional to office, we're advancing housing, we're making some adjustments on our community facilities lots, as well as community facilities and so on. And then, of course, there's the workforce component. And this work, as you know, this is just a framework. This sets the framework for continued work that needs to be done over the implementation of this plan. With that, I'll turn it over to Lila so I don't repeat what she's going to be presenting on, and she'll give specifics. And we have the entire team here, as well as the development partners as well, to respond to questions. With that, Lila Hussein, could you start the presentation?
Good afternoon, commissioners. I'm Lila Hussein, senior project manager for Hunters Point Shipyard in Candlestick Point. Just as Director Sasse had noticed, 2 weeks ago, Therese Brecky from Five Point gave a detailed presentation on the vision and goals related to the proposed amendments for the major phase, which will need to be implemented through a series of amendments to regulatory documents governing the development of Candlestick Point. Today, I will give a quick overview of some of the plans that you saw previously, and then get into the details of which amendments are tied to which regulatory documents. Also, Sally Orth, Deputy Director, will give a quick overview of the housing program for Candlestick Point, and then I will come back to the podium. So here's the broad overview of the agenda that broadly essentially lists out what I just spoke about. And then the Commission Secretary just read the three resolutions that are before you. The first one for CEQA findings related to Addendum 6. Also, the second is a resolution for the D4D amendment. The third resolution covers the adoption of the major phase, as well as changes to the infrastructure plan, transportation plan, conversion of square footage that is allowed per the Bayview Hunters Point redevelopment plan, and transfer some square footage from Hunters Point Shipyard to Candlestick Point. So this image here should look familiar from the last meeting. This is an aerial overview that shows that's post the stadium demolition. We will mostly be talking about Candlestick Point. I have several images just to contextualize where we are. And this image here is from the design for development. It shows the future new neighborhoods within Candlestick Point. You have the Candlestick Center in gray here to the north. You have Candlestick Point North. We're probably not going to have these names for the future neighborhoods, but this is just to orient you of the whole Candlestick area. And then we have Alice Griffith towards the west, and in the southeast is Candlestick South. And then now zooming in into the major phase, here's another aerial overview with the major phase, the subphases within the major phase we're talking about. You have a CPO1, which is includes the first phases of Alice that have been built, and then you have the other major phases that we're going to be talking about today. And just a quick overview. This is the hierarchy of documents that many of you are familiar with. It's just the order of how we get from very broad documents like the redevelopment plan, the DDA, then down to other project documents that regulate the development, and then to major phases and then subphases, and then you get to the vertical designs that you have seen come before you. And then just to recap, there's been many prior approvals, but in particular related to major phase ones at Candlestick Point. It was originally approved in 2014. We amended it in 2016, and now we're here for a second amendment. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Sally briefly to talk about the overall housing program.
Good afternoon, Commissioner Sally Orth. Again, we thought it was important just to revisit the housing program that's within the project and highlight a few things that are not changing, as well as a few key points that are changing. So a key point today is that the BMR housing plan within the DDA is not changing. So neither the number of total units, the total BMR units, the required range of inclusionary housing, nor the senior inclusionary project are being changed to these actions today. What you're going to hear about a little later from Lila is the developer's proposal to rearrange some of the market rate and inclusionary housing within CP Center, also called subphase CP02, as well as advancing some of their market rate and inclusionary housing from later phases into CP02. And as a quick refresher as to the current status of housing in Major Phase 1, the first housing completed was Alice Griffith Phases 1 through 4, which was funded both by OCII and the developer. So here's an overview of the entirety of the housing units that are going to be delivered at the full build-out of Candlestick and Shipyard Phase 2, where, again, you see over 10,000 total units, over 3,300 BMR units, and the entire project achieves 32% affordability. In Major Phase 1 of Candlestick, which is the far right column, the total amount will be now almost 3,000 housing units, which is an increase of over 400 units, thanks again to the developer advancing some of their housing into CP02. At full build-out, Major Phase 1 in Candlestick will achieve 39% affordability. So this is just another way to look at how housing is being delivered through the project, in this case looking at Candlestick as a whole. And so here is a visual of the BMR housing map from the DDA, zoomed in on Candlestick, and the colored blocks represent the Alice Griffith lots, the OCII housing lots, and the workforce housing lots. These locations are not being changed through the actions today. Our Alice Griffith and our OCII standalone blocks allow us to serve a broad spectrum of housing and income needs and opportunities for deep affordability. You're familiar, of course, with the public housing replacement units in Alice Griffith, which serve 0 to 60% of area median income. But another current example are OCII blocks CPN 10A and CPS 11A, where a total of 73 subsidized units will be provided for formerly homeless families, in addition to the typical family rental units in those projects. And again, what's changing today is just rearranging of some of the gray blocks in that triangle of CP Center. Of course, one of the most important aspects of the BMR program are the people who will live there. And so there is a robust set of occupancy preferences that will govern the housing projects in this project. And here you can see them with, of course, certificate of preference holders being first, then rent-burdened or assisted housing residents, then displaced tenants, neighborhood preference, and San Francisco residents and workers. And I've just noted that there is an additional preference for Alice Griffith residents for the future Alice Griffith phases 5 and 6 for any previous Alice households who had left but now would want to come back. They will also have a preference. So OCI staff is working hard to think of ways to increase our outreach to certificate of preference holders. And we're actually going to be coming back before you in a month for our annual COP program report. But I'll give you a sneak preview of some of the things that we're looking at are, again, ways that we can continue to improve and increase our outreach range, including ways we can use social media. We're looking into trying to create an interactive map that would allow potential COP holders to see more easily if they resided in an address that is eligible to receive a certificate of preference. And of course, we are going to continue to implement our recent practice of income tiering through the OCII projects, where we have units spread across multiple AMI levels so that we can maximize opportunities for COP holders. You know, of course, the most immediate way we can serve COP holders is ensuring that we have housing units for them to move into, which is why seeing progress in this project is so important and so critical to OCI's mission. So with that, I'll turn it back to Lila to continue the presentation, but I'm happy to answer any other housing program questions after the commission takes public comment.
And so here on this slide is a summary of community benefits, none of which are changing. We are essentially the developers in compliance. A lot of these community benefits were triggered when the first major phase was approved. Later on, I'll be talking about the lots moving, but in terms of the actual compliance, the developers in compliance and nothing is proposed related to the DDA body of the community benefits. So again, if you look at this map here, the tan, the beige area is major phase one CP, which is what we are talking about. And if you look at this map, CP03 and CP04, many of the seven of those blocks have already come before this commission for vertical schematic design review. So you have seen those. And then you have CP Center, which we refer to as CP02, and then CP05, which has yet to come before this commission. So now I'm going to drill down deeper into the proposed amendments here. Oops, I'm skipping ahead. So this is an overview of the major phase application amendments that you heard 2 weeks ago, but broadly it's about adding more housing to the CP Center area. It's about reducing the regional retail, removal of a tower site, and many of the other items listed here that we will get into in the next slides here. There's also modifications to the schedule of performance, which is the timing that the developer is supposed to deliver, associated public benefits like parks, and also the horizontal infrastructure, and we're shifting those 1 to 3 years, partly because we spent the last couple of years sort of retooling this plan and needing to go out and do the actual approvals, the community process, and now after this step, we'll have to go seek permits, and that whole time has shifted the schedule performance, so we've updated the schedule performance. We also have the phasing plan map, which also shows CP05 as a larger subphase as well. And then the third item is the Alice Griffith neighborhood changes, which consists of two things. One is moving the additional community facility lot from where it was previously in CP03 to the Alice Griffith neighborhood area, and then also the retention of the Frandelda childcare play area. So this map should look familiar. It's what is currently the land use plan is to your left, and then what is proposed. And if you look at the current, the pink area was the outlet mall area that you see in the map. And then if you look over to the right, you see office and a lot more housing. Again, here's some nomenclature we use to describe this area that I'll be using throughout this presentation. The outfield and infield, keeping in line with references to the old stadium, and I'm just going to zoom in a little bit more on what's happening on each parts of this area, each part of the pie or home plate. So back in 2017, we had a retail center. You see all the red that represents regional retail, and then now you see the 2019 zoomed in. You see office, housing, but you also see retail lining the area to be able to serve neighborhood uses, and you have a certain amount of regional retail in the 2019 plan as well. So this is the outfield program. This is the summary of the square footages of the units and also the amount of office that is proposed in the outfield area. And then if you go up now to the infield, the dark blue area is the Film and Arts Center. That has not changed. That has always been part of the project. You also have a hotel site as well. The location is moved from where it was previously located, but it's still part of the land use program. And then you have the senior housing at 60% AMI and multifamily housing in the infield. So this is a summary of what from a square footage perspective, what has changed between the 2016 approval and currently what is proposed, and you see changes in the neighborhood retail gross square footage, and you also see the performance venue getting slightly smaller but keeping intact the number of seats. Also the hotel, we have the same amount of rooms, but the square footage is getting smaller. Okay, and then now we're gonna zoom in on Alice Griffith. This map represents the Alice Griffith neighborhood and the different types of housing there. You have workforce housing, you have market housing. You also have the first phase of Alice on this map. And on this exhibit, I mainly want to highlight where the community facility lot that is supposed to be used for community use for fire, school, or police is being located from what is CPN 1A to the Alice Griffith neighborhood to be able to serve the residential area in that area. But you also see a little bit of purple remaining on the right-hand side for community use, and that is being reserved for a possible fire station. So now about talking about Frondelia here. If you look at this map, AG8 was going, and you look back to the housing map that Sally covered, AG8 was going to be a market rate lot. But after discussions and meeting with the community, Alice Griffith tenants and whatnot, the child care center needs the playground to function. So we are keeping that as a playground area, and the market rate units that were going to be there are going to be distributed throughout the other market rate units. So community facility spaces is another requirement of the DDA. It's 7.5% percent of the total retail. We are not changing the percentage amount, but since the development plan is shifting from largely a retail program to a mixed-use office residential, you're de facto reducing the amount of square footage that will be set aside for community facility spaces. So the previous program that had a lot of regional retail, you had 35,000 square feet, and that is now going to be 23,000 square feet. The change you see of that is change happening within the CP Center, and I'll show you in this map, which will make it more clear. These are all the locations of the community facility spaces, most of which have already been approved through the vertical designs that have come before this commission. And so you see all these locations lining Harney Way as well as Ingerson, which is the main sort of retail corridor, Ingerson's Restaurant Row. You have Harney being lined with retail. So it's, you know, I just want to call out CPS 8A, which is the International African Marketplace, where we worked with Ms. Vincent and the community to locate it there so that it could have synergy with events that may happen at the Wedge Park as well. And then the orange is just highlighting 3,000 of community facility spaces that will be located in Major Phase 2. That's not part of Major Phase 1. And that is the Welcome Center for state parks. That's part of the requirement. And then this is the end results of all the changes I talked about, and this is the land use map, essentially, what you end up with. And you have the community facility lot and west side of the site plan. You have office at CPO2, and then you have a lot more residential in CPO2. Here's another viewpoint, just to look at it differently. This is the massing that you could see the major phase. So then I want to talk about the design for development, which essentially functions as a zoning code for Candlestick Point, in that it contains all of the development standards and guidelines that will shape the future of CP Center as well as all of Candlestick. The original D4D contained development controls tailor-made for a regional retail center, and now we had to revise it in order to update it so that it responds to the new land uses that are being proposed within the CP Center. OCI staff, Five Point, and the Planning Department worked very closely on all of the changes that are in the Candlestick Point D4D, and it's in your packet. You have a red line of what all those changes are. And examples, just as some of the examples of these standards are, you know, setbacks, site coverage, and how you activate the ground floor. Here's also some more information on some of the other items that are contained within these D4D amendments. We are also proposing a height exception to be consistent with citywide standards, where you have 10% allowance to be able to cover mechanical equipment and then also allow for 10% deviation. These are that deviation is consistent with what we already approved for the shipyard D4D. This says this we went over at the workshop as well. These are the height changes, and all the height changes are happening within the Candlestick Center part of the project. So if you look at the map in 2016, you had a tower before that is being removed in the Candlestick Center site. You also have increases from 65 to 85 to 120. Towards the back part of the site where the mixed-use office is. And in the internal part, you have increase from 65 to 85 feet. And then on the periphery, you have a very minor increase from 80 to 85 feet. So the scheduled performance changes, as I discussed earlier, is having shifts between 1 to 3 years, and then towards the end, the shift becomes less over time. So here's a comparison of the major phase, but also within each major phase are several subphases, and that's where you really see the shift from 1 to 3 years. So other documents, now I'm going to talk about the other documents that are very much involved with our city family infrastructure plan. We work with all the city departments because that's about the public infrastructure that will actually be built to serve this project. So we work with PUC, Public Works, MTA on anything related to the infrastructure plan, and all of these amendments have been vetted by those city agencies. And so I just want, you have detailed summaries in your package, but this is some high level changes. One is the sea level rise design criteria is being updated to match what is what to the 2012 standards that have been adopted, and essentially it's a higher finished floor that will be required for the project. The developer had already contemplated this and had already been designing the project to those standards already, so it's more about catching up the document to the actual standard. And then we have private utilities. We have public utilities on private streets, and that's something we have to get the city's okay on, and that's part of the project as well. We also have something called the auxiliary water supply system, which allows the fire department to have enough pressure to fight fires in the event there's a fire. And there's a lot of it's complicated on how to build that system. And PUC and OCII and the developer will be working through future changes on maybe how we fight those fires, how we provide enough hydraulic capacity in the source. And so there will be possibly a future amendment to this document. And that's one of the request in one of the resolutions is to delegate that authority to our director once the city has, city and the developer have worked together on how we will provide auxiliary water supply system. And the last piece is making some of the conforming changes that match what we have made in the transportation plan. So for the transportation plan, we had to update the transit phasing, which runs along runs very similarly to the schedule of performance in the sense that since the development time is shifting, we're not going to run empty buses. We want to run buses when there's actually people there. So we shifted the timeline when the buses will begin running. And again, this is not just OCI and the developer deciding this. We many discussions with MTA on this, on how to update the transit phasing. And then we made some minor street adjustments here so that we could accommodate transit more efficiently. So here's a map at the end result of the line serving Candlestick Point at full build out. You have Express Shuttle, you have the BRT, and you have the 29. So now I'd like to turn over to the environmental review, which is a big document you see here of required studies that we need to do for these amendments. And this is addendum 6 that that is part of this project, part of these project amendments. And it concludes that the scope of the project will not result in any new impacts or cause any new significant impact. But the other important thing that I'm going to talk about in the next couple of slides is that we are also adopting a different threshold on how to measure significance of transportation impacts to be more compatible with how the state and the planning department is now measuring transportation impacts. So this is about vehicle miles travel. Currently, the 2010 EIR used something called level of service, and that was the standard for many years. Level of service focuses on how land use and transportation projects affect driving instead of how these projects change the amount of driving. While changes to driving conditions that result in an increase to travel time and intersection delays are important, the changes do not fully describe the environmental impacts associated with greenhouse gas emissions and fuel consumption. So evaluating projects based on vehicle miles traveled instead of level of service changes the evaluation from measuring impacts to drivers to measuring the impact of driving itself. So it's a much more effective way
of really figuring out a project's true impact. Staff has reviewed state and local city planning guidelines, and staff recommends that the commission adopt the VMT vehicle miles traveled standards for the purposes in accordance with state and planning guidelines. We still are doing the level of service analysis to just be able to compare it to what was previously done, but we're also adopting the new standard. So slide 40. Again, the workforce requirements for this project has not changed. This slide is showing the current status of FlyPoint on current contracting and workforce status. With this project, there are no proposed changes, but we will be working with FlyPoint very closely as they get their tenants on how to implement the workforce requirements and to make sure that we're successful in meeting or exceeding the good faith effort goals. So again, this is the list of community outreach that you have seen previously. Added to this is the October 7th full CAC that we had last Monday. And the vote was 6-1 at that that full CAC meeting. And this came out of the workshop that we had last on October 1st, where the commissioners requested to create working groups to monitor the progress and also affect how the developer, OCI, are working towards meeting all the objectives that are required for this project, but also exceeding them. And so we have taken heed to this, and we, given that we're going to be spending a lot of the next 6 to 7 months on the horizontal infrastructure not quite getting to vertical, we thought first meetings could occur in the spring of 2020, and we've listed out the different working groups. And this is similar to the last the slide you saw at the last meeting. It's when do we actually go vertical? So you spend about 2 years working on horizontal infrastructure, getting the permits, getting the mapping, and then this is the vertical timeline and sort of the order of events where we're focusing on where the developer is going to start on the outfield, and then shortly thereafter work on the infield and CPO3, and then subphase CPO5 will be the last subphase of this major phase. And the immediate next steps is a planning commission has to approve the design for development amendments. And as I stated earlier, there's a lot of work with other city departments to get a street improvement permit so that we continue to build the infrastructure in accordance with the infrastructure plan. And also, and then the developer could actually start the construction. So we have a whole bunch of people here to answer all kinds of questions in case they come up, but and we're ready to answer anything. Thank you very much.
Great, thank you. Madam Secretary, do we have any speaker cards for this item?
Yes, we have Linda Richardson.
Good afternoon, Commissioner Bustos, President Nadia Sese, Director Jim Morales, Legal Counsel. Linda Fidiki Richardson. I am very excited. The last time we came out was during the workshop presentation by FlyPoint. For the 3 minutes that I'm allotted today, and again, I think we need to just highlight the key parting statements. Number one, there is no other project, no other company in the history of San Francisco that has provided and also has proven exceeded community benefits. I'm looking at your slide here, and this is being talked about throughout all San Francisco city agencies, over $53 million provided for community benefits. And guess what? More when Candlestick Point. Given the slowdown in HPS, it has become even more important an emergency 911 to continue the successes that FlyPoint has already built in terms of employment, job training. All the whole enchilada is right here. And I also wanted to tell you that I spent, yours truly, 18 years working with the Baby Hunters Point Project Area Committee on that SFRA, and that land use master plan, all the key elements in terms of open space, film and arts, transportation improvement, housing, everything adopted by Five Point. There is no other project so far that are doing that. And we are going to make this the gold standard, that every development earmarked toward the Southeast sector adhere to that master plan. And where we are today, no other project also has been put into community scrutiny like this. The community outreach is mind-boggling. LaShawn Walker and everybody has been going out. The CAC has conducted several workshops. So at the end of the day, you have this project to kind of help us to revitalize Baby Hunters Point. We are losing population every day. We cannot wait any longer. And so we have the brilliant project. We know you're building everywhere in Mission Bay. It's Bayview's turn right now. Help us to pass the CCOR, item B, C, D, E. Everything is all there. And I'm very happy that you now have your subcommittees. And when you get to that phase, we'll be glad to help you. So thank you again for your endorsement of this wonderful project. God bless. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Richardson.
Oscar James.
Oscar James, native resident of Baby Hunters Point, been there all my life. I served on this shipyard for 45 years when this project first came to fruition, when they closed the Hunters Point shipyard. I want to commend the CAC, the CAC board that's been working on this project to make sure community benefit. Like I've said at first, it's 45 years. 45 years they weren't, half of YBC was being built, half. None of the ballpark on Embarcadero and half of the development on Embarcadero was not in place, which is in place today. None of Mission Bay was even thought of 45 years ago when that shipyard closed. We in Hunters Point, Bayview Hunters Point, has suffered all these 45 years with the loss of jobs, business opportunities, and everything else. It's time for this development to go on. Lennar, Five Points have done a tremendous job. When they came out in the community, I wouldn't support them at all, okay? Being truthful. But with their commitments of what they have done in this community, the opportunities they have given people in our community, in job training, in helping contractors and subcontractors become more sustaining and able to go out into the world and do construction work on their own, Five Points should be commended for that. We had problems with a lot of the environmental issues and what have you. A lot of lies has been said about the environmental. My father worked in the Hunters Point shipyard. I know all of the places that the contaminants were in the shipyard because my father told me and other family relatives told me about the shipyard. I conveyed them to Mayor Alioto and the commanding officer in 1974, okay? Partial A did not have any toxics up there. That was officer's house, officer's club, and the other enlisted peoples up there. So all these fake peoples coming in to my community talking about what's there and what's not there, they don't know. They don't know. I'm not going to start saying any bad words or anything. They don't know nothing.
Thank you.
About Bayview Hunters Point. I've been out there. I've been riding stick horses and everything else out there. Okay? We need this development to go on. We need the people who, these newcomers coming in, seeing what's there, to stop lying and listen to the people who's out there in the community. One thing, fault I do have with Lennar or Five Points, they need to hire more people from our community who's been out there and know the history of our community so we can be eye tellers and say what's wrong and what's right for the betterment of our community. I thank you very much. Please pass this. We need it badly. Thank you very much.
Well, the following members of the public line up in the following order. Neola Gans, Joyce Armstrong, Aurelius Walker, Kimberly Hill Brown, Randall Saraguchi, and Tim Paulson. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. I'm here today to support the resolution 27-2019. I am all for this project to continue and to go through. Thank you.
Thank you. Please remember, state your name.
Joyce Armstrong, CAC member for the Shipyard, Baby Hunters Shipyard, and also the president of the Public Housing Tenant Association, which serves seven developments that are left from RAD, and four of them are in District 10. As their representative, we come to you today and ask you to please pass this. We really needed to move on. I want to see some of this happen before I'm gone. So we really would appreciate, you know, we appreciate Lenore and Five Point for what they've done. I appreciate all the CAC members like Dr. Scott and Dr. Honeycutt and the people who have been working before we got on the board 2 years ago. They've done some amazing work, and we'd really like to see this pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Armstrong.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. My name is Kimberly Hill Brown, and I'm here today to support Lenore's moving forward with this resolution. Alice Griffith is my first home. All of this work done at Candlestick is my backyard. This is something that I looked at as a little girl when I was afraid of the dark and the Candlestick. Lights shined on my bedroom. I was always happy when the 49ers and the Giants play. This community has gone under a lot of disenfranchisement. My grandfather retired from the Navy. He retired from Treasure Island and the shipyard. So I know a lot about the background of these two properties. I'm so thankful for our elders like Oscar James, who know exactly the historical situations going on those lands. I've played all back there as a little child. So we want to see this move forward. I am thankful for Lenore for the outreach that they've done in the community. I am also the PHTA secretary, and we follow LaShawn. I think we've only missed one community meeting that she's held in various locations throughout this year, and just giving us the updates and amendments and different changes. It's been very informational. It's given the community an opportunity to have input, and this is televised, so I just want to say to any District 10 residents that are out there that may be watching to come to these meetings, come out to the CAC, go to the Facilities Commission meetings. Whenever you hear anything that's going on with this with the Candlestick Shipyard, come out so that you are informed, so that you receive the information. A lot of times we say there's no benefits in the community, nobody's doing anything, but if we don't participate in the meetings, participate in different programs that are going on in the community, it's just like voting. If you don't vote, you can't complain. Thank you, and I support the amendment.
Thank you, Ms. Hill-Brown. Next speaker.
Commissioners, my name is Tim Paulson. This is the first time that I've addressed OCII since I became the Secretary-Treasurer of the 32 unions in the Building and Construction Trades Council. You probably remember me for the last 14 years prior to that, when I was the director of the San Francisco Labor, the unions in San Francisco. Organized labor has been behind this project almost since its inception. We were there at the ballot. We were there during many of the hearings that took place. We worked on community benefits agreements. We worked on with the community, and we worked on a project labor agreement so that the people that are going to be building the job out there are going to be paid fair wages and health and welfare benefits. And so I'm here to support, on behalf of all of organized labor, this project moving forward. I want to remind people of just one thing, not that I have to remind anybody about it, but maybe somebody in the audience. We all knew that when this project started that we didn't know what the 49ers were going to do. You know, we didn't know if they were going to stay at Candlestick. We didn't know if they were going to move or whatsoever. You know, and that always throws a wrench into the plans for a major development if it moves forward. So it's no surprise that Lennar and Five Point have been working diligently, you know, to, you know, make the best for the community and the neighborhood as to what's moving forward. And this seems to be just yet another phase of that adjustment that people have to work on, and I want to commend Five Points for, you know, for the work and the investment that they're taking to move this forward. So that being said, we do support this project. We look forward to be moving forward, and we're asking for your vote today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Paulson.
Reverend Walker. Oh, do you want to come up? James Mabry.
Good afternoon, board. James Mabry. I'm a San Francisco micro local business enterprise based in the Bayview Hunters Point. I'm here to speak for this project to move forward. Being a Bayview resident, I grew up attending the ballpark, you know, things of that nature, and just living around there. I employ 100% local residents. And Five Point has been very instrumental in helping my small business grow. This project will definitely enable me to have a solid foundation, being that it's longevity. Projects come, you know, maybe 6 months at a time. This project, the duration of it will help, you know, my core employees actually, you know, work for a longevity. This project will also provide continuous jobs with its retail facilities and shops for people, because we also do janitorial, not only construction final cleaning. So we will be able to provide full-time jobs, 40 hours a week, to residents in San Francisco, which would eventually become taxpayers in San Francisco. So it's a win-win for the whole city and county, especially for the Bayview Hunters Point.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Reverend Walker.
Honorable Commissioners, I am Aurelius Walker, and I was looking at the screen up there and saw a name up there, Aurelius Walker, quite prominent. Then I looked at the document to talk about the project, and I saw the name in there. I came today to speak to you in reference to, I lived in San Francisco for 60 some odd years. I'm 88 years old. I'll be 89 next year. I pastored the True Hope Church of God of Christ located at 950 Gilman Avenue for 50 years. And I retired. The Lord let me know I've done my job. So I have semi-retired. I retired as CEO of the corporation and senior pastor, but they gave me another title, Emeritus Pastor. That is, I'm going to assist the pastor that's there. One of the things that I want to just say, I support it 100%. Now, naturally, there's some things need to be mitigated, that jobs, housing, in reality, we built out McCormick Barron and Salazar, built out 504 units of housing there right by the church. I built out about 20 and plus a brand new church building from the ground. But my grandfather came here and worked in the shipyard years ago, Cleveland Walker, and he was very successful. What I mean by that, he saved the money and made the shipyard. We were sharecroppers, and sharecroppers next to slaves, as far as economic is concerned and money and power and position. And he made enough money to come back to East Texas, that racism-ridden area, and he bought 9.5 acres of land. He built a 3-bedroom home. And as a young guy, I made up my mind, I said, when I grow up, I am going to San Francisco. And because of that, and Alex Pitcher, myself, Espinosa Jackson, and about seven of us made a decision that the only organization we could see at that time, years back, I don't have time because of my time, is bring the redevelopment agency back out here. Now, we had a problem because the redevelopment had almost destroyed Fillmore area, but we got in the document they could not eminent domain no more homes, so I'm excited about what's happening, and I'm looking forward to continue working with the plan. I talk about it. I'm with Tabernacle Corporation, and I'm doing some various other work, but in relationship with this, we're looking forward. Thank God for Kofi Bonner and Lenore, and also for Five Points is here. Thank God for them, too.
Thank you, Reverend Walker.
Randall Saraguchi.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. My name is Randall Saraguchi. I'm the Executive Director of Urbanet Academy. We are a nonprofit based in Bayview Hunters Point. We've been around since 2010, and for 6 years, we had served boys of color in the neighborhood, grades three through five, with a Saturday school that placed men of color in front of them around STEM exercises. The success we had with that slowly evolved into getting more men of color into our schools during the week. So we went from a one-day-a-week program to a three-day-a-week program. Now we're the beacon operator at Malcolm X Academy on the Hill, 350 Harbor Road, and we have an initiative called Man the Bay, which is our formal initiative of recruiting African-American men to move to the city and give them housing in order to do that in this climate and in this environment that the city has now. So at this intersection of education, workforce development, and workforce housing for essential professionals in the city, and our focus is on teachers. It's been extremely difficult, as you all can imagine, making all of those pieces work at the same time, particularly for a small nonprofit. But I can say that Five Point and the community partners involved with this project have been extensively helpful in making sure that we're stabilized now so that come the end of this project, there actually could be a chance for a teacher to live in that neighborhood. We've been successful in bringing two cohorts here from five HBCU partners across the country. We have three housing sites in San Francisco secured towards this project, and we believe we'll be able to expand that moving forward with other support we've been able to garner because of this momentum. And so we're very much in favor of this moving forward. We hope that you all will approve it, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Saraguchi.
And is this Alfan? Alfonso. Okay, thank you.
Doing. You got to excuse me, I'm kind of hoarse. I support this
What's your last name, sir?
Alfonso Rhodes, R-H-O-D-E-S.
Thank you.
And I believe this right here would be a good help for me if you guys approve this. I'm out of the Bayview. I put people from the neighborhood to work. And I've been doing this about 18 years. And Lenore at Five Point has been good, you know, to the small local business. But if you guys, you know, approve this, I'd be able to put guys to work and women to work. That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Rhodes.
Dr. Honeycutt?
Good afternoon, Executive Director Sese and you wonderful commissioners. I am Dr. Veronica Honeycutt, Chair of the CAC for the Shipyard. And I also want to remind you that I used to be the Dean of the Southeast Campus for City College of San Francisco. I served in that capacity for 13 years. And what I was always blessed because I was an educator in this city for 45 years for San Francisco Unified School District and for City College of San Francisco as a teacher and an administrator. So I have deep roots when it comes to the Bayview, when it comes to this city. Now, in terms of this project has it all. I'm going to reiterate it again for you the way I did the last time, because I want you to remember what we're getting with this project. Housing at 60% AMI or lower, and that means low-income folks are going to be accommodated. Child care, not only at Frandelgia, but some other spots as well, I'm sure. training for jobs within the project for residents in the community. That's a huge plus, so they can not only live in the community, hopefully, as well as work within the community. Housing for the homeless, of which African Americans are overrepresented, okay? All you have to do is just go down there and go to that federal building and see who's sitting out there, see who's homeless, see who is not making it in this city. Housing for seniors, another important area. Community facility lots. You notice I have to read from this list. There are so many pluses with this project. Consideration for certificate preference, folks. Community benefits, which have already benefited the community through the implementation committee and the Legacy Foundation allocations. There's money already going out to the community. And then let's not even talk about AG, which was totally redone. Okay, so that folks are not in rat-infested houses, but they're now in modern new places. A hotel, an iconic film building, which is beautiful in and of itself. And I'm thinking about you, Ms. Brackett, assistance for small businesses. That's already within this project. So that's just a few of what you have seen. But I want to remind you, this is what we are getting when this project is approved. The CAC has already approved this project. You've been told that already. I'm asking you to do the right thing when it comes to this forgotten neighborhood. I have lived in forgotten neighborhoods all my life. In the Western Addition way back in the day, Oscar and I can talk about that for days, when people didn't give us what we needed. But through the grace of God, we were able to get an education, to do something positive, redeeming, and good with ourselves. Okay? So I'm asking you to take the Bayview out of that forgotten neighborhood category into that which is redeeming and beautiful, an opportunity for not only, I hear you, the residents in the Bayview, okay, but also for the residents of the city and county of San Francisco. I'm asking you to move this project forward because it is the right thing to do for everyone. God bless you and thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Honeycutt.
No more speaker.
Is there anyone wishing to speak on this item? Please come forward now. Please state your name.
It's a risk to follow it, but Corey Smith on behalf of the San Francisco Housing Action Coalition. I want to align myself with all the previous speakers as well, but really emphasize that while this is certainly a community process and we want to make sure that everybody is involved, we also don't want to hit unneeded or unnecessary delays. We are very aware that the way that construction costs are rising, that building housing is getting more and more expensive by the day. So in order for all of these great things to become a reality, we just want to keep sure we're moving forward with the sense of urgency that we absolutely need. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak on this item? Hearing none and seeing none, I will close public comment and will turn to my fellow commissioners for their questions and comments.
Miguel.
Dr. Scott.
Yes. I just want to say thank you so much to all of you that have spoken. I also want to just commend Five Point OCII for your due diligence. I, too, am a native. Oscar James, Veronica Honeycutt, we're the same age. I'm a native. I've been here for years. In the 40s, we were moved with the redevelopment to the Hunters Point area in the 40s. So I've seen much. And yes, it was an underserved community for years, but now the story has flipped and it's different. We have the opportunity to go forward like Salesforce, Mission Bay, and all of the other communities that just started. And we can change that story and be not the forgotten, not the underserved, but the overserved community, district, historical district in this city, and promote our small businesses, promote our young men, our children that deserve to be in a community that's looked up to and revered across the nation and the world. So I do approve of this.
Thank you, Dr. Scott. Any other commissioners? Hearing and seeing, okay.
Um, So first, I'd like to say thank you to Reverend Aurelius Walker for speaking today. As a church that's been in the community helping people, especially single mothers and the build-out of Frondalgia, I was very happy to see that Five Points made sure that they preserved the child care center, which anchors a lot of the residents from not only Alice Griffith, but throughout Bayview, who use that center for their children, because there aren't very many large child care facilities in the neighborhood. And also his work also and his church's work in building housing for the community as well, especially seniors. I want to say thank you to Kimberly Hill Brown for her comments about the fact that Candlestick Park has had on the residents in the community and how the draining of being left desolate without a team that anchored a lot of jobs in the community that were nearby and how that affects the community as well. And so I also want to thank Five Points and OCII Nadia Sese for being very thoughtful in ensuring that not only they preserve the amount of housing that was in the original D4D, but that they added an additional 428 units to this plan. I want to thank Alfonso Rhodes, as well as Mr. Mabry, for coming up and making their comments, because that's something that's very near and dear to my heart. 20 years ago, when Lennar and Five Points were just starting their outreach to local businesses to make sure that they were Bayview businesses considered in the subcontracting and the remediation portion and the build out, and that there were going to be Bayview businesses, especially black businesses, on every phase of this development, and to see them here now, almost 20 years later, speaking and talking about how successful those programs have been, not only to them as proprietorship and owners, but also being able to hire directly from the community, which is what we want to see, and we want to see to continue to improve and to expand. And I believe that this project gives them the gives us an opportunity as a community to move forward and see some stability around that. And then also just wanted to say thank you again to Oscar James, Linda Richardson, as well as my fellow commissioner, Ms. Scott. just knowing that we have a legacy of generations in San Francisco, and we do still have that historic tie and knowledge still here present, and seeing this project go forward with people being able to see that, which has been kind of one of the biggest issues with the whole redevelopment agency as well as the COP program. So the only comment I have is that I know currently small businesses were not included in the October 7, 2008 meeting under COP, and it was mainly done for residential. But if there's something that we can do moving forward with this project to possibly add in something around COP businesses as the project moves forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Rosales?
Yes, thank you. My comments are brief. I think we've studied, listened, heard from a technical standpoint, but what moves me as a commissioner, as a San Franciscan, is to hear the community stand up, come here, and tell us exactly what moving this project forward means for the community at every level. My own experience as a commissioner tells me that I can trust Lennar and Five Point to follow through. Early in my days as a commissioner, when I first heard about this project, I won't say a doubt, but a question. I wanted to make sure that the community was fully backing the plans, that this was not just a city thing or that kind of thing. And I've been convinced through not just the records that we've heard, the reports that we've been given at every level, the job development programming, the community benefits, the small business development, the numbers, of course, and making sure the numbers are real. We rely on our staff for all that, but we also rely on the community to tell us. And so I'm impressed with the work that's been done so far. I think the Bayview community is incredibly resilient. We're talking about folks on this commission that have been experiencing and in the room this awaiting this moment, if you will, for a long, long time. I am in full support of these items.
Thank you, Commissioner Rosales. I just want to say that, you know, I was on this commission when, and I said this before, when it came to redevelopment, I was appointed by Mayor Newsom as a redevelopment commissioner, and I remember the long hours of discussion regarding this project. But I can't believe it's happening. And, you know, having grown up in the Mission, you know, the southeast part of our city has been historically neglected over and over and over again. And to see us be able to do something right, I think we're so lucky, especially the last few years. You know, we've been working with the Warriors and the Chase Center, and everything we asked them to do, they did. They hired locally, they got local artists, they got local vendors. It was a community building, and it was a community effort. And I feel equally as blessed that we've been working with, you know, I can't even just, it, you know, Kofi, you have been such an incredible leader, and you, Lennar 5-Point, they should be very lucky to have you, because it was your integrity, your passion for, one, running a business, but also lifting a community, which most people say cannot happen. And you prove that it can. And you put a team together. You know, I see Roberta, I see LaShawn, I see so many wonderful people. You put a team together that took the time to get to know the community and be part of it. You make it work. And we all look to see what kind of legacy we leave this planet. Be proud knowing that this is one of yours. And this project has also been able to bring out some of our most incredible leaders, you know, even leaders who didn't agree all the time, like Dr. Espinola Jackson. But you heard her. You never made her feel like she wasn't heard. And you lifted her up even when she didn't agree. That says a lot. And of course, we have others that have spoke before us today. And so I just want to say thank you, thank all of you. Thank you to the future workers of this project, to the future janitors, to the future residents, to all of you who know that this project has come in a continuum of grace, of passion, of hard work. This is one of the things I'm going to be the most proud of at the end of my time. I can say, God, I got to vote for this. So with that being said, fellow commissioners, we are going to take these three items, 5B, 5C, and 5D, as one vote. So being chair, I can't move this item, but I would ask for a motion. Commissioner Scott?
Yes.
May I have
would love to make the motion.
May I have a second motion?
I would like to second the motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Mabet. Mm-hmm. All right. Madam Secretary, please take your roll call.
Commission members, please announce your vote for items 5B, 5C, and 5D when I call your name. Commissioner Brackett?
Aye.
Commissioner Scott?
Aye.
Vice Chair Rosales?
Yes.
Chair Bustos?
Absolutely, yes.
Mr. Chair, the vote is 4 ayes.
Thank you. Madam Secretary, please call the next item.
The next order of business is item 6, public comment on non-agenda items. We have one speaker card. Oscar James.
Mr. James.
Oscar James again. You know, the last commission meeting, something's been on my mind since that time when I first brought up the Mission during the Model Cities area. Larry DiCarlos was the director when we started programs in the Mission. So that's been on my mind, to get that name to you guys. When you have senior moments, which you guys will be there pretty soon, you'll come back to the same foot. This is a footstep. You know, like you think of something, you go down to your basement, and you forget, and you go back upstairs. This is me coming back upstairs where I had that senior moment. But I just want to commend this commission like I do several times a year, your dedication and the CAC, their dedication in our community to make things happen. Without both of you, things wouldn't be possible for our communities. Thank you very much.
God bless. Thank you, Mr. James.
Thank you.
Anybody else wishing to speak on this item? If not, okay, I'm closing public comment, and we'll go to the next item.
The next order of business is item 7, report of the chair.
There's no report.
The next order of business is item 8, report of the executive director. Madam Director?
None. Okay.
Next item. Next order of business is item 9, commissioners' questions and matters. Mr. Chair.
Any questions? Seeing none? Hearing none? Okay. Next item, please.
The next order of business is item 10, closed session. There are no closed session items. The next order of business is item 11, adjournment.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
I move that we adjourn.
Is there a second?
I second.
Okay. Thank you. So there's a second, and first, second, we are closing this meeting at 2:13 p.m. Thank you.